September 10, 2021, it's a Watt from Pedro's show. Friday started off with Wild Man Blues, John Coltrane with Miles Davis, and then Sig Oasis, Tears Forever. There might be tears. English language is ambiguous that way. Like, how do you know fucking past tense of read is read by that fucking spelling. Yeah, anyway, not getting into it. You can probably tell you heard an utterance there, people, that I am not man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention got brother Matt Burgess aboard. Welcome aboard, Matt. Did we lose you? Off for Pedro? No, I already said that shit. We lost Matt for a second there because we connect, but we're trying to alleviate that, people. Welcome aboard, Matt.
Thank you so much for the good connection. I'm glad to be here.
Right, because I gave you that big intro and then it fucking weeded out like that. Is that a good word, weed? The last guest, Kay, he was saying weed. I say mota, huh? I like mota. But anyway, this music you said, we got to give fucking brother Evan Lebson credit for the connect. Thank you, brother Lebson.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolute insane
bass
guy.
Man, bass brother. About to have a baby, I think.
Really?
With ice. Yeah, dang. That's what I got hip to. I'm pretty sure. Not imminent, but soon. Okay, let's check out your journey through music and try to go all the way back, Matt. Bring your earliest musical recollection, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So, earliest musical recollection would be having a tiny little, like, 7-inch black and white TV that I would watch. And, of course, like any terrible introduction to music was MTV. So I would sneak and watch MTV because my parents, you know, would see White Zombie and be like, oh, that's bad. Don't watch that. Watch Sesame Street. And I'd say, okay. And then as soon as they leave the room, just put on MTV and watch White Zombie and other terrible bands. They're great. But listening to White Zombie and The Offspring in kindergarten, probably.
So like 90s.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments, Matt?
There was not, no. There was no really real musical introduction in my life until probably 7th grade.
Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in the band. They had like an honors band. This was a middle school, an honors band, and then a symphonic band, which just meant shitty, but we still have to include you. And so it was just all the people that weren't good enough to be in the good band. I played trumpet and
failed. Miles Davis.
Yeah, but I failed miserably at that. I could never get my embouchure.
Embouchure, is that right, what it's called? Right. Yeah, because it's got vowels and shit, but a lot of those notes actually come from your lip.
Right.
Notice a bugle, right? A bugle has no vowels, but you still got notes, right? And trumpets.
I would imagine I'd be even worse at that. I've never played a bugle.
It's like a trumpet without vowels, right? I hear, we got a Coast Guard. I'm in the harbor of Los Angeles, San Pedro, and we've got a Coast Guard base on Terminal Island there, and they do the little, because in the old days, right, they had little, they used the bugle to, like a walkie-talkie. So, reveille, you know, when to get up, when to conk, probably when to shit and piss, you know, whatever. So you didn't do much with the trumpet, and you said, what, like junior high? Okay, so like teenager. Now, trumpets, now 90s, there was a period there, right? The ska band. You could play trumpet being a rock and roll band for a little bit there.
Right, when it was like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Right. Less Than Jake.
I mean, and wear a suit. Like, stinkin', that was cool for a minute.
Stinking Pickle, Mustard Plug. So what I'm trying to get at, Matt, is like, not after school, like graduation, but in the afternoon, did you get into the fucking garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Yeah, exactly. That period started when I finally, my dad brought a drum set for about $75 at a thrift store, and that's when the real musical journey started. That was in ninth grade.
But Matt, why did he do that? Did he say, right. I want my son to be a drummer, or did he get a request from you?
I said it out loud as a request. I was like, I want to learn to play, but I can't learn anything. Drums seem like that'll be the way.
You mean it's a reaction to the experience with the trumpet?
Exactly. He saw I didn't thrive on that.
So you want to be in music, but maybe you're not a horn man. Maybe you're a stick man with the beat in your hand.
Exactly, and he regretted that very soon after. That was just years
because of
the
art. Fucking Bam Bam and the Urusei. Be careful for what you wish for, right? I think it's called the law of unintended consequences.
Not
just your pop, but a lot of us humanity could learn from that. Look, and anyway, I'm glad he fucking did that because now you're part of the fucking big music brotherhood, you know. So was it one of these things, I'm going to get you this $75 drum set, but you're going to have to take lessons?
Oh, well, yeah, lessons were extra. That wasn't in the cards. It was kind of a...
No, but some parents are like this. If I get you this shit, you're going to have to learn how to play it.
he had no expectations. He said, go get them, and we got them.
Hey, you know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first record you bought with your own money?
That's with own money.
Let's see. Because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so I'm curious. You could only buy your first record once, right?
Right. And I guess there's two. There's the first CD I ever received. And
yeah, I don't mean about the medium. You know, album, okay? CD.
Yeah. And Alanis Morissette.
Look, I'm from the fucking 8-track days, okay?
it was Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette.
Okay, and the first gig you went and saw?
The White Stripes and Whirlwind Heat in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Grand Prairie, okay. I think there's a... U.S. Highway, right? So the drug court at Wichita Falls. You don't want to take this road because they can mandatorily pull you over because they think you're trying to deliver the good time.
Is the good time everything?
Yeah, whatever the fuck, you know. But now back to your journey on your mission with the drum set. So are lessons in your mind? Are you going to be an autodidact and like George Hurley and just get some... write a Billy Cobham record and a Who record and just teach your fucking self with some headphones.
it definitely went down that road. It was always putting on headphones and trying to learn drums to easy songs, which this is 2004, so ended up being White Stripes songs because, you know, Meg White's a terrible, great drummer.
I don't know. I think she's pretty happy.
Oh, I mean, it's legendary, but, you know, compared to, you know, the Keith Moons, not so great.
I don't know about that. But, no, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but because you could say something, you mean not as much flash, like Charlie Watts didn't do enough flash?
That's true.
But was he a good rock and roll drummer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it still served its purpose, certainly. But, yeah, that was just listening to stuff and trying to do it, trial and error.
Did you get into shit like, Aaron Palmer, Earl Palmer and shit, right? He invents the rock and roll kick drum. You know, it's a trippy thing. You know why it's called the trap set, right?
No.
Contraption. So, you know, it's like bass guitar. It's like being invented as we do it. You know, it's not really, which is kind of righteous, right? Because it's not in a fucking glass box and it's still dynamic. So you told me you started jamming with your buddies after school.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that didn't turn into gigs or gigs. It didn't turn into shows into shitty venues until late 2000, like four. And that's
so it's
when,
mainly a practice band.
Exactly. Yeah. The dream was to play a show, but it never came to fruition until somebody was like, hey, it was like a Christian club or something that just booked anybody.
Yeah.
And we're like, want to play that? Like, oh yeah, sure. You know, it was like a new world.
How was it? Was it a success, the gig?
Yeah, it was with grindcore bands. So that was being like 15 and playing that. I was like, wow, this exists. Wow.
And what was the name of your unit?
Oh Lord, it was the band was named Davlin Chatlin.
Whoa, that's a trip. I want to play another Sig Oasis tune.
Absolutely.
Laser Food.
buy me a Big Mac. What'll I do with you? You do with me.
What'll I do with you? You do with
me. He says party and throws a fist like a winner. It's all the same. I mean the winner and the sinner all on and on. Raise a drink to a planet rich in silver. It's all a game and I'm the sinner, he's the winner, we're on and on. No salute to a marcher's boot, that's for beginners.
What will I do with you, you do with me? What will I do with you, you do with me? And legends are
Thank you. all on one machine. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Thank you.
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music style with Sig Oasis doing Razor Food. Guided by Voices, brand new, Dances, Gurus. Brand new from Headboggle, Bitchin' album, Embers. Bombas Prendon, this is some stuff they just recorded, collaborating on online in real time, not just trading files. Dumfries, Noir. Then P. Kane, Pat Kane's got a new album, Half a Model Home, Open Night. It's a really good album, people. Mold Omen out of nearby Baltimore, Animal Man. Dor just told me he's got a new thing. It's coming in the mail for a Network Glass. Lock Ward, Sam Lock Ward after that with Candy out of Iowa City, Up Around the Sun. Brand new, Tim Kerr's got a new project out of Austin, Texas. Tim Kerr from the Big Boys, huh? A year older than me. And he's doing a lot of great artwork. Gave me a beautiful John Coltrane painting I got up in my practice pad. Sally Johnson. Graf. Infest from Netherlands. Also in Vuce, Netherlands. They share members. Salveja. Veja. Veje. Yeah, that's what it is. Salveja. Fucking shit. I ruined everybody's language. Not on purpose, though. Live at Salon. Brut. April 25, 2020, this is Eviction. Car Thief School, brand new out of Hokkaido Park, Japan, Kandera, and finally, Eat Avery's Bones and Pro Boner. This is probably a little pun rock, right, on Pro Boner. If you're a lawyer, you got to do so much free work, so maybe this your band was doing a benefit. So what happens with I know when you're young, like, genres really put on us hard, and then we kind of believe it until we grow up and say, fuck this shit.
Right. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, how long does this band last?
Ooh, not many, not long. I think about 2 years, maybe a little less than 2 years. Definitely some turmoil, high school turmoil, and, toxic people ruined it.
Yeah, that happens. That somebody once said, right? Youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah,
You got to live a life to learn about a little bit. So, you know, like skateboard, right? You fall off, you get back on. So, I should ask you about the drummer. Since you're self-taught, did you look at any other cats as like a kind of inspiration?
Let's see. It was definitely just learning like what was popular, playing on whatever shitty thing I was reading. I didn't get into a deep delve of way better music until probably 3 years after that. So definitely just playing to the shittiest bands like the Strokes and all that, and just trying to be like, oh boy, I can play that. The name of that drummer in the Strokes, Fabrizio Moretti.
Yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, because I could tell you Mo Tucker's name, but I couldn't tell you his name.
That's okay.
So, you don't go to higher education for music, do you?
No, absolutely not.
What do you do when high school's over?
Did theater and was really bad at it.
Whoa, okay. Well, you're on stage. It's kind of a similar situation.
That helped with the stage fright aspect of it, because always getting out, you know.
You were scared, like, at that first gig? Or all
terrified.
Your gigs? Because, yeah, I still get scared at gigs, to tell you that. No, truly.
Well, you've seen everything, Mike. But is it a good
honest, cause you can, look, people have been working all week, and they've got to put up money to fucking see you. Are you going to fucking let them down? So that's what one of the scary things. Also, am I going to forget all the parts? Or, you know, whatever, even though they've been beaten into my shit. And there's just a lot of things to get scared of. And I just ask people. Everybody's different. They got a different thing in this. But what do you do? Do you start, do you put together your own bands? Or you're into joining other cats' bands?
Absolutely. Coincidentally enough, the toxicity of the first band, we just took out that member and started another band.
Okay.
And that became Eat Avery's Bones.
So in a way, you didn't have to reinvent yourself. You just replaced a faulty component.
just took out a D battery and turned on stereo.
Right. Now, you never recorded with them. And what was the material? Were you guys doing your own stuff, or were you copying off records?
Oh no, yeah, we the first song I ever wrote was for it was 2005 on a Tascam 4-track recorder, and just playing the only beat I knew how to play, and started with a keyboard line, then bass, horrible Radio Shack mic, and then that became the first song, Runny Bunny.
But you're part of the write, you're part of the composition.
Yeah, absolutely. I started off writing everything, and then my brother.
Oh, that's fucking great, because you know the drummers and bass players. Especially drummers, somehow there's this weird stigma that they don't know shit, you know, that they're not the real music people, right? The real ones are guitars and singers.
Right, which matches up. I still don't know shit, so, I mean, I never have.
Yeah, but you took command of composing or a good part of it, right?
Right, exactly. Just got the ball rolling. Like, please, okay. Please do this, if not better.
Okay. Did you ever write words?
Yeah, that was lyrics have always been even till now, and I'm 34 now. Yeah. Lyrics are always the hardest for me.
And do they come later?
Absolutely, last every time.
Okay. So how did this band now with the new component? More gigs?
Yeah, absolutely. That's when things became really prevalent, and that was 2005. Our first show was on a 9/11, 2005.
I started a tour on the real one. It's coming up tomorrow, right?
Exit 20 years.
Yeah, and I started a tour. I made it up at the end. It was up in the city. Of course, it was canceled. Okay, yeah. But you're talking a few years later, but on the same date. Okay. You guys got into tour mode?
Absolutely. Coincidentally, the band's still together, doesn't play really, just because my brother's in the band, he has kids, and it's kind of a scattered thing. But we still record, but shows started happening. Some of our first shows were with bands that became bigger, like the Black Angels, that psych band from Austin.
Sure.
And that was our fourth show, and so that was really weird. They hated us, but that's fine.
What the fuck's that about?
You know, just the whole pompous thing of it. Yeah, it was like, we're in our late 20s, bro. Like, we don't need to be at this house show. Fuck you. Are we allowed to curse?
As human beings.
Yeah.
Were you around the white denim and that stuff?
Oh, white denim was Austin. We played probably 10
shows. Well, you were talking about those guys were Austin, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. They came to Denton. We were friends with a band called the Strange Boys.
Okay. And now, Denton's a music town. I mean, right, the college.
Definitely. But all the bands that come out from it are more, that kind of picky bass, like, like, that's all, they just sound like music students. Like, I don't need to hear about music theory. Yeah.
Okay, fusion.
Yes, jazz, fusion, math, rock, like, it has to be complicated or they can't do it.
Whoa. You know, I had this cat on the last show, and he was saying that he liked jamming over Autumn Leaves, and, you know, he went to Berklee School of Music and this.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's, the changes are too simple. You're lame. You know, what is this shit? Everything's got to be like sports?
Like, you don't... There's so much extra stuff. Like, I can barely remember like a 3 pages of words, let alone like go A D G and
I'm
still suck at that.
But I played only once, Dent, but it was a good gig. It was with Frank Black. He had the Catholics then, the Pixie singer.
Where was that at? Remember?
I think it was in the yard of a frat house. Somebody told me that frat boys were putting on this thing, you know, and I usually don't do a lot of those gigs, but
right.
Charlie made it good, and it seemed people were cool and shit, and I didn't see Greek letters.
That's good. They probably weren't official.
I know, because usually I'm very allergic to something like this. So you guys stayed a Denton band. Well, I guess Denton is close enough. It's kind of like a Dallas band, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's in that good epicenter of, like, here's Fort Worth, here's Fort Dallas. Worth, that's
right. I should say Fort Worth, too, because fucking Ornette Coleman, right? Caravan of Dreams. Can't leave that out.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, especially here in SoCal, right? It's like this one big town made out of 150 of them.
So, yeah.
You know, what do you call it? The metro area.
Here's this and here's that. Yeah. It's right. But, yeah, doing it in that area, I mean, aren't just frat houses that don't have.
And then up I-35 is Oklahoma City, not too far. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 10, 2021. Dish Watt Peters, your special guest, Matt Burgess. Hold tight for hour two. September 10, 2021, so second hour, Watt Peters Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Finally Punk and a tune called Pregnant, which in Texas might be easier said than done. Lucas Abella, or the other way, right? Somebody told me, maybe it was Terry from Run Whiskey Run. He what? What's the difference between a girl and a light bulb? You can't unscrew the light bulb. No, you can unscrew the light bulb or something. Yeah, rolling on the fucking floor, you know. Okay, Lucas Abella from Sydney with Lamborghini. Yuki Kawana, Tokyo. Miro Tokete Toko Nituku. Yeah, I'm ruining another language. Have a Nice Life with Telephony. And then Rubber O Cement and James Twig Harper with Powered Siphon. Siphotune from Malleus Incus Stapes Substitute. And finally, Flesh Narc with Faucet / Cham Flake. These titles.
They're horrible.
No, they ain't, but they are kind of mysterious. So enlighten us, please, man. Like I started to show off with some Sig Oasis. Then it was the Steve Avery Bones. Then there's Finally Punk, and then you just heard Flesh Narc. Hippus, you're the stick man part of all this, right?
It varies. It changes. With Eat Avery's Bones, I was the drummer and core songwriter for forever. Mostly drummer, but then we've gravitated to someone, because I'm a shitty drummer, someone else doing the drum parts. But usually...
Why you say that, Matt?
Shitty in the comparison sense of, like, we have friends that can learn the songs better than
you're
I can.
Talking about Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood, right? Man's got to know his limitations, that kind of thing.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. If there's some, you know, if there's somebody that can do it better or even interpret it better,
you
like,
know who's like that?
Not?
The fucking Dan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Walter Becker was bass man and Donald Fagen piano, but in the studio they didn't do those. I think at first they did, but then they had. Well, they'd have like 10 million guys doing, like, most of them ended up on the deck, right? All scissored. The creme de la creme or whatever the fuck. The wheat from the chafe, we could say. Okay, so hit me to these components of these projects.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one, so Sig Oasis is a moniker of myself, which is pretty much, let's see, I have almost 300 albums. I literally just make demos.
300 albums?
Yeah, I think I'm right at 300. I make demos on GarageBand, and which I'm kind of master GarageBand and shit.
Yeah, you get it for free with every Mac. Why the fuck not?
Exactly, and it's all right there. So anything from field recording.
A friend of mine, Barry, in Tel Aviv, made a whole album without even instruments, right? Because it got virtual. He made a whole album on his leash. Not even the crop top one, the little garage bin.
It's incredible. You can get Moog, you know, a Moog app on the phone and tie it into GarageBand. I mean, sure, there's limitations, but I mean, you can make it sound great.
You're trying to say, there's no excuse not to be creative these days, people.
There's no excuse not to be able to record. Like, if you say, like, oh, I can't record, like, that, there are so many ways. That is a lie.
This is Sig Oasis. Sig Oasis is a 300 album band project.
Absolutely, and it's pretty much anything I write.
And you're the one consistent member.
Exactly. Which there's live iterations, of course, but if those happen, I usually get Rick and Reese from the band Flesh Narc, and I know Rick, you've been talking to.
That's right.
Yeah, and I live.
What about Finally Punk?
Finally Punk, it was a band from Austin that was active from, I think, 2005 to 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic, four ladies. And we played two shows with them, one with some 3-1-G band and one with Shoplifting. And, they were one of my favorite bands. They broke up, but they got to play some great shows like Mel Banana and stuff. And they're just legendary. I love them.
And Eat Avery Bones, that's the one that goes way back to your beginning, right?
Exactly. Still active, but inactive.
Okay, now I know this cat. Yeah, right. You said your brother's got a family and shit.
Right.
Not pejorative. I mean, you know, important stuff.
Yeah.
Important stuff. Exactly. It's all important stuff. You just got to juggle it, piece it out. You gave me something. I do know of this cat. I met him, in fact, my buddy Larry Mullins introduced me to him in Berlin, I think is where he's living now. King Khan and the Shrines.
Yes.
Okay, no regrets.
Do it all again. Yeah, take the name in vain. I got no reason to complain. Cause I got no mind to change. And I don't regret a thing. No, I don't regret a thing. If I did, would be the same. So I don't regret a thing. Yeah. Thank you.
Negro Show. That chunk of music started with King Khan and the Shrines doing No Regrets. Al Margolis, Chester, New York, Milk Day after that. Babes, New York City. Talk about a lame band name. Jesus Christ. Run Naked in the Streets. I mean, I like the band, though. There's trippy sounds. Carl 2000 after that, A Birch Tree in a Field did Stand. Oh, that's kind of poetic. And the Candy and the Suckers. Petunia, you gave me this.
Yes, sir.
What project is this?
That is a good friend of mine, Katie Reese, her solo project. She is from Denton, Texas as well.
Okay. And do you aid and abet? You help out? Hey, you need a drummer? You need a songwriter? With your buddies like this.
Yeah, it's good to have other people musically
and
around.
You be available for them. Like, what's your fucking connect with King Khan?
I certainly wish he seems a little bit more he's on a different realm. I haven't reached his realm yet to approach him.
Well, last time I saw him, I shared stage with him, and I think it was just a 2-man band.
King Khan and Barbecue.
That's what it was.
Right.
And they had weird leather outfit, like S&M, D&D kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Dominatrix, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you need the other side, too. So you need the dominated one also.
And the dick pouch, yeah.
And the dick pouch. Better than the shit pouch, right?
So, he has one, too, yeah.
So I mean, you're a fucking... you're in the community. When it comes to music.
Yeah. excuse me. Sorry. definitely a limited number of people. Like I myself, like, even though I play shows, like I normally am not that social. So really it's a limited pool of people that I would trust as that I would come to for musical things. Just the most easygoing people that is who I surround myself with. People that make me laugh and who are really just very consistent people. So it's a group of like 10 or less.
But Texans, right? But what about via internet? Do you trade files, do shit like that?
I used to, but then kind of became, once there was the instantaneousness of like of having GarageBand and things like that, and just the way I became accustomed to, yeah, like I just got bored with waiting for someone's response of files. Like back and forth, I was just like, just get in the room. Let's do it that way.
Okay, so if they don't get in a room with you, there's no collab. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it is Texans, yeah, or people on tour or some shit. Yeah, yeah. So, interesting. Main instrument you compose on?
That's a good question. Bass.
Really? Because that's
absolutely.
The first time you mentioned that, Matt. I didn't know.
Well,
you
the bass line.
Bass. I didn't know when did that happen.
Well, it really started when I started writing songs and realizing that if the bass line isn't fire, totally fucking fire, like it's that has to carry it, because even if there's not drums happening, but the bass is good, like it can carry a whole song and make it great. And I tend to gravitate to a bass.
That's really happening. The White Denim guy, they got a great bass guy. Sweet guy.
Oh, yeah.
I met his daddy, too, in Austin. No, he brought him to the gig, man. That's beautiful. You know, it looks like a guitar, right? But actually, the closest note on the stage is the fucking kick drum, maybe some toms.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
people say four-string guitar. I say, fuck that four-string drum set. You know where I'm coming from? Okay,
yeah.
It's got strings like a guitar, but it don't work in that world. It don't work.
No.
Yeah, right? I'm not saying that guitar guys can't do bass, because some guys are great at it. A lot of guys are
sure.
Great at it. But I don't think it's being a fake guitar.
Yeah,
anything,
absolutely.
It's more like a fake drum set. I don't know. I'm not trying to brainwash you here, Matt. I'm just...
Oh, sure.
What D. Boone would call it, thinking out loud.
I'm brain dead, don't worry.
And I'm commiserating with a fellow. Well, I ain't a drummer, man. I wish. Fuck, if I could play drums, I'd be a way better bass man. But coming on the... And then using the bass as composition, you got to be... You know, I've done this show 20 years, 3 months. You're one of the first guys, besides myself, that I've met the composers on bass. Thank you so much for telling me that. We're at the end of the second hour, September 10, 2021, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Matt Burgess. Hold tight for hour three. September 10, 2021, it's the third hour of the Dishwap Pedro Show.
Smooth set, email power, wrapping, digging, utensil. The course was set. I'm now power.
I'm only told the thing when it's off.
The digging utensil.
I'm only told
the thing when it's off.
I'm only told the thing when it's off.
The thing when it's off.
I'm only told
the thing when it's off.
On no power.
Graphic.
I did.
I'm only told the thing when it's off. Of course.
What's up?
I'm on power. Graphic.
Shall we start off the third hour with yet another prodge from Matt Burgess? Adult Hours of Fear. And then we had Nadja out of Berlin with From the Lips of a Ghost in the Shadow of Unicorn's Dream. Okay. Chicha Libre after that. Genocian number one. I don't know. No, it must be GNO, so it must be no. No Sienna. Like Gnostic, right? GNS. Yeah, I don't fucking know. And then Reese McLean with Singing When It's Off. Yet another Matt Burgess proj. Hip us to this shit, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Reese McLean is a bandmate in my band, Fleshnark, Annie Devery's Bones, and Sig Oasis if we play live. And he did a solo project called Moisture Bag, and it's fantastic. And Adult, the band from Detroit, that's actually a Screamers cover, 122 Hours of Fear.
Oh, yeah. Look, I saw the Screamers many times.
Oh, wow.
It's not just Hours of Fear, it's
122. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what was in the file name. But now they wouldn't record. They thought records were over, that you're just going to make videos. But they did make some demos, and they just came out, four or five of them. Kay's
right.
Brother, Paul Rossler, took the original other guy's place, you know. But Tommy Gear and Tomato DePlenty and KK Down and great cat. I mean, to understand them is really important if you want to know the movement. The punk movement in Hollywood wasn't just fast guitars. Of course, there was a lot of those bands, or slow guitar, whatever guitar. But there was bands with no guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I'm glad. Punk wasn't a style of music. It was more of a state of mind. God, I gotta go horse hollering at people and shit. How did you get turned on to Screamers?
It was that... like a black hole, like starting at a band. It was actually 120 minutes. Not Screamers weren't on that, of course, because they didn't have like a YouTube video to play back in the early 2000s. It was actually starting at Sonic Youth and then going to Wikipedia and seeing who they would play with. Like
they
fall.
Up in the city, San Francisco, Target Video. They did do a gig, and I think you can find that YouTube.com, Target
mm-hmm.
Video. Yeah, Live at Target, I think. They did a bunch of bands, but I think the Screamers was one of those. And, it, of course, okay, Thurston, yeah, Sonic Youth, he's very hip to that. He knew about that. Actually, the Screamers played in New York City at, like, a loft or some shit in the late 70s.
Wow.
Yeah, they actually did hardly any of them Hollywood bands toured or anything, but They did do, I remember Paul telling me about that and stuff. Man, you guys were resourceful. So it actually was from an MTV thing. Yeah, that's so fucking funny. I think I did an 120-minute thing.
I feel like you have.
Like a guest. They would ask people to be the guest and shit.
Right.
When my ball hug, I think it was when my ball hug. Well, there was a couple times. I think when the ball hug record came out, and then when I was helping the Porno for Pyros guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, look, here's another project. Mom Wow. Music for this edition. Yeah, Mom Wow with Hit. Right? That's what you write.
That's Hits. Right.
Mom Wow. Then Bad Blood Exhaust. You had a Germany with Prison Break. I think the singer is part Indonesia, part Hong Kong. Overall, from where are they from? Scotland?
Denton.
No, Bad Blood, no, Overall.
Oh, sorry.
Not your pride. I played some other music, but we'll get to that. Say what you will. And the Derek Moneypenny, Disappointment Lurks. I can't remember. Maybe up Cali somewhere. And Macho Blush, finally, the last prize you gave me, Mosaic. Hippest to both Mom Wow and Macho Blush.
Absolutely. A Macho Blush is a sound collage. She is a sound collage artist from Austin. That is just we played about three or four shows with her, and she's the most just as music that sounds like a dream to me, or sounds like, you know, if Inception made less sense as a song. And she is out there on another plane. She's in fucking space, and I love her. And Mom Wow would be Julie McKendrick from Denton, Texas, veteran of the Denton scene, and that is her solo project. And she is, I love her with all my heart.
Macho Blush?
And, yeah, what is Macho Blush's name? Gina. Macho Blush is Gina from Austin, Texas. And actually, that album, the year she released it, Bandcamp said it was the best tape release of the year.
Now, if that was some other company, I would say, fuck that. But I like Bandcamp. I think they're very good to bands.
Me too.
Probably the best music thing for bands on the internet. All those
for
other
sure.
things are so fucking jive. So.
Terrible.
But if you like them, that's good enough. Yeah, they are terrible. So you mean some of these you're not playing on, you're just fans of these people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a little self-indulgent, too.
What I do when I ask music for people, it's usually shit that they're playing on.
I was looking at some of the playlists of the just random ones of the shows you had, and I just saw one band. It was like by them, and I was like, I would rather just kind of support people I like and my friends and
because with 300 fucking albums, it seems like you'd have enough for 11 tunes.
Of course, but I mean those will live there forever. I don't give a shit. I'd rather just pick the.
Well, where can people find those things, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. They're all on Bandcamp. We got a
dig away. No, but give the full URL, please.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be that would be the stigoasis.bandcamp.com, the fleshnark.bandcamp.com, and edieverysbonestx.bandcamp.com.
Okay, so you didn't spell it, but you gave the words out. You know, some of the listeners ain't from the U.S. and shit, so the
language. Oh, right.
But English is a lot of places, so. What's the main one? What has the 300 fucking albums?
that's Sig Oasis, even though that's kind of just
okay,
like
so,
me.
So that's CIGOASIS.bandcamp.com?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But I'd say the more prevalent would be the one we're playing shows with coming up. With we're doing some shows with the band Wolf Eyes, which you just interviewed, right?
Well, different forms. I had on the show Adam Dillaway, who used to be in the band, but he didn't start it. And then I had two of the guys that are in the band now. I think one of them
right.
did start it.
Yeah, John and
Nathan.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah.
Is it Nathan?
Nathan, yeah, Nathan, sorry.
Yeah, and I think he started. And all really great cats and stuff like that.
Definitely. And that we're doing a run of shows with them, and that's
Flesh
and Art.
When you say word, you're talking about Eat Avery's Bones?
Oh, no, Flesh and Art.
Okay.
Flesh and Art,
yeah. Here's the other one, people. FLESHNARC.bandcamp.com. Flesh Narc.
Yes, sir.
Now, people,
absolutely.
Narc is kind of an older word, but it meant a police officer that deals with narcotics, and he's usually undercover. You know, so it's like somebody's dressed up like you to spy on you to get you arrested for using illegal substance.
They won't get me.
Well, speeds, Texas mota seeds were like felony. This guy's got life sentences because of mota seeds. And, you know, all the states on the West Coast now, we got that legal.
Except here.
No, I said on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, no,
I said
the West
Coast yet. When the earthquake comes and we fall into the ocean, then you'll be the West Coast. But not yet. So what's your plans? Your immediate plans is to get on the road with Wolf Eyes and do some gigs in November?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah, November. Then the Unhinged Fest, with this, I guess, that starts with you. We're
going to share the stage together, right, Matt?
Not in Flesh Narc. That's the next day. This band is Terminator 3.
Okay. I'm going to still share the stage with you, but you'll be with another proj.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there both days.
But you didn't give me any of the music from Terminator 3?
That's because that band doesn't exist yet.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
You can read the future, Matt. You're beautiful. It's been a big honor. When you guys record, will you come back on the show? We'll play the music. We can talk about it. And in fact, I might get to see the debut gig, huh?
Absolutely. I look forward to meeting you, man.
Okay, brother. I'll give you a big sweaty-ass elbow. No bear hug. Okay, because of the sitch. Thank you so much for being on the show. And please keep on keeping on. A drummer man who writes songs, I love it. I fucking love it. And if you write the songs on a leash, using GarageBand, no problem. I love it. Just keep on keeping on, Matt, truly.
Hey, you're the best, Mike, and shout out to Rick.
Big love, big love. People, it's been September 10, 2021. Dishwapitos, so keep your powder dry.